Top leaders of the NAACP were in Lansing yesterday, pressing Governor Snyder on the Flint water crisis. The group blocked a street in front of the state capitol with pieces of pipe, calling it a pipe-in. Leading the group was the National NAACP President and CEO, Cornell William Brooks, and he is with us now. Welcome, Mr. Brooks.
It is an honor to be with you.
A month ago, you were in Flint threatening civil disobedience if Governor Snyder didn't present a plan within 30 days that had a deadline for replacing Flint's water pipes. What is your message in Lansing today, especially with the pipe in?
Well, our message with the pipe in the last 30 days, we have not seen what we called for 30 days ago, namely a timeline, a deadline, and a price tag. The governor issued on or about the 27th day a plan, but this plan is essentially a compilation of adjectives, verbs, and nouns without numbers. There's no timeline for the replacement of the pipes, no deadline for when this job should be done, could be done, and certainly no price tag. That is to say, how much will it cost? Who will finance it? Where will we secure the funding? The people deserve a real plan. The plan proffered by the governor has all the specificity of a bumper sticker. There's nothing in it that offers us real assurance. We've had and endured the generational poisoning of children, and yet the plan does not speak to when will we be able to assure parents that the water coming out of the tap is safe for their kids to drink.
And this is really something that Flint's mayor, Karen Weaver, has been really, really pushing for, hasn't she?
Here we have a brand spanking new mayor who's picked up a shovel, picked up pipes, and started replacing the pipes with the relative pennies that she has. The chief executive of the state of Michigan, having caused the problem, has declined to fix it. We're simply saying to the governor, we realize that you have a great many responsibilities, but having broken the water infrastructure in Flint, now is the time to fix it. And to fix it, you need a plan with specificity. You simply cannot issue on the 27th day this so-called plan with no price tag. I mean, when you look at the document, you don't see numbers. This is not reassuring.
There's also no time deadlines in this document either.
No deadline. Ask yourself this question. Would the governor recruit a business to Michigan with incentives without telling a prospective CEO how much, when, and under what conditions? Why, again, is he asking the citizens of Flint to trust him without telling them when the problem will be fixed, a deadline for the problem having been fixed, and a price tag for it being fixed? This is leadership 101. The fact of the matter is the NAACP has begun today with a campaign of escalating civil disobedience. Be clear, the weather will grow warmer. The sun will shine more as we go into the spring and summer. And I simply ask the governor to imagine thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps even more than that, people from across the country coming to Flint, coming to Lansing to put forward a common sense request and demand responsible action from his office.
This is a national call you're issuing.
We're simply saying this, that absent a real response, we're going to call on people to come from across the country. Now, we're simply asking the governor to do what any chief executive would have to do under these circumstances. He's testified before Congress. He has issued this step toward a plan. He has read, no doubt, a report holding him and his subordinates accountable. Now's the time to step up. We've had enough. We've seen enough. But putting forward a plan with the specificity of a bumper sticker is patently insufficient.
I'm speaking with the national president and CEO of the NAACP, Cornell William Brooks, who is in Lansing with a contingent from the NAACP. And today was, as they put it on Twitter, step one, day one of the campaign to have the pipes replaced in Flint. Virginia Tech's Mark Edwards, who I believe everyone can agree has been one of the clarion calls for sanity and action in this whole thing. He talked to me earlier this year about what happened in Washington, D.C., when that city had a problem similar to Flint's, and they went in and started pulling out pipes. Let's take a quick listen.
The worst thing you could do is go out and do it wrong. We spoke out against the lead pipe replacement in Washington, D.C. that the EPA and the city were saying was going to solve all the problems, and it actually unleashed a second wave of lead poisoning because they did it halfway. They did it wrong. and actually created massive spikes of lead that exposed children to just crazy amounts of lead in drinking water, even higher than what was in Leanne's water.
And he, of course, was referring to the water from the home of Flint resident Leanne Walters. Mr. Brooks, what kind of pace do you personally hope to see in this goal of replacing the pipes? And I'm wondering how that syncs up with what Dr. Edwards said to us.
Note what the doctor ordered and what he described. He described a responsible replacement. So in other words, he wasn't saying that the pipes did not need to be replaced, but you had to have a thoughtful, responsible plan. The point being here is right now, there is no timeline. There is no deadline. There is no price tag, nor is there even been a framework for getting to one. That's the challenge. The point being here is where you've had a community that's been poisoned, that has endured this challenge for years on end, where the people have been offered false assurances, deceptive assurances, misleading assurances, is it unreasonable for them to expect someone to say to them, when is the problem going to be fixed, and to lift up a plan? We're not asking for replacement for the sake of replacement, but replacement to the extent that it fixes the problem. And we have a community that frankly has every reason to be distrustful of their government. Related to this point is this problem was created by unaccountable, unelected government, where you have under the emergency manager law a change in the water source, the corruption, if you will, of the water infrastructure, the polluting of a generation of children. Again, I pose the question, is it unreasonable to ask for a plan? It's not that anyone said we expect the problem to be solved tomorrow. We're simply asking for a plan. Now, this is more than reasonable. We have seen congressional leadership calling for the infusion of very significant dollars. We've seen the philanthropic community step up with respect to trying to fix the problem. The question we have to ask ourselves is, where is the executive leadership? It's not enough to testify in Washington. It's not enough to read the report back in Lansing. Something needs to be done in Flint. That's where we are.
I would like to get your thoughts, if I might, on the Flint Water Advisory Task Force, the report just released after 5 months of interviews and fact-finding. And that task force called for changes to Michigan's emergency manager law to allow more local input, also for an investigation into what's behind this push to this new Karenandi Water Authority. Also was very clear that the Flint water crisis is a clear case of environmental injustice. And one of the task force members on this program, Ken Sikkema, said he doesn't believe that is about racism, that it's about equal treatment for all, meaningful roles in government decision-making, which clearly did not happen in Flint. How do you see it, Mr. Brooks?
Well, the fact that people can be disadvantaged as a consequence of their socioeconomic standing is not inconsistent with them being disadvantaged as a consequence of their race or ethnicity. I would simply ask every listener, every reader in the state of Michigan, to exercise your moral imagination thusly. Imagine the wealthiest community, the wealthiest city, the wealthiest town in Michigan enduring the same kind of treatment as the residents and citizens of Flint. And imagine them being white. It's very hard to imagine. And I think that race and ethnicity, as well as class, play a role here. And I think it is profoundly naive to imagine that it does not.
Do you have plans to be back in Michigan?
Most definitely. I'd rather come back to Michigan to enjoy the scenery, to enjoy the sights, the food, the people. I'd rather not come back to protest and to demonstrate and to lend support to the citizens of Michigan in terms of righting an unconscionable wrong. But given what we've seen thus far, I imagine I will be back to do those very things.
And do you have any specific date in mind or any time frame for stepping up on the civil disobedience?
I will simply note this. We gave the governor a 30-day deadline. We gave him a clear date. From henceforth, we will respond to a calendar of our own making, driven largely by the actions of his administration. We would much rather come here to lend support for any program, any plan he puts forward that's truly responsive to the problem. No one desires to spend time protesting when we can, in fact, stand together constructing a better Flint, a more viable Flint, a Flint that reflects the aspirations and ambitions of its citizens. So we're not here to protest for the sake of protest's sake, but if we have to do that, we will, based on a calendar of our own making.
Cornell William Brooks is the national president and CEO of the NAACP. Thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for lending a critical voice and lens to this issue. Thank you.